Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to today's live stream. Today, we'll be talking about buying the dip. Buying the dip. When to buy pullbacks and winning strategies for buying pullbacks. Now, let's jump into things and I'll tell you a brief story about how I've come to buy pullbacks and why it's so challenging. Some of the mindsets that you need in order to buy pullbacks. So let's start off with some of the reasons why buying pullbacks are so difficult. And by the way, well, for those of you that are here that are joining us live, if you could take a moment and let me know if you are someone that buys these pullbacks. And if you do, well, type into the chat as well. Type into the chat. Let me know if you do or if you don't buy pullbacks. Here is why buying pullbacks I felt was so challenging. The reason why is because you can really throw almost anything into a pullback buy if you don't have it defined, right? Well, price was here and it fell over here, so price pulled back. I found out the hard way that we need to have clear definitions of what constitutes a pullback buy that's worth buying, that's worth your money. So here is my baseline definition of what I'm looking for in a pullback. The first thing, write this down. The first thing is that you want the stock to be in a stage two uptrend. If you're familiar with Stan Weinstein and his work, then you already know what a stage two uptrend is. If you don't, here's what the very simple criteria is. All right, well, let me share my screen again. And let's share TradingView. Here's a stock that I'm in or I was in until this morning. This stock is in a stage two uptrend. How do I know that it's in a stage two uptrend? Because the 50-day is curving up and the 200-day moving average is curving up. That's as simple as it is, and the price is also above those key levels. That's what you need. So over here, right? So over here, is price in a stage two uptrend? No. The reason why is because the 50-day moving average, that red line, is still curving down. Right, well, let's zoom in a little bit so that way you can see it a little bit better. All right, so over here, price is above the moving averages, but the 50-day moving average is still curving down. So it's not a stage two uptrend yet. What Stan Weinstein identified is that the optimal time to be looking for pullbacks is when you have both of those longer-term moving averages moving up. And then when price starts to pull back to them, then you get all those people that missed out buying earlier or want to add. They're hungry. They want to be adding at those points. So they step up and they buy. And so when price comes in over here, pretty close to that 50-day moving average, what happened? Price jumped up. Something else is that another place to buy the dip is at the 21 period moving average, right? I like to use the exponential moving average. That's what was used by the people over at MarketSmith, now MarketSurge. Excuse me. So why the 21 period moving average? Well, John Boyk, who, by the way, if you're not following John Boyk, you should follow John Boyk. He's over on X and he does a fantastic job. He's written a couple of books. One of them is this book called Monster Stocks. That's one of my favorites that he did. And what he identified there was that the vast majority of the monster stocks, the ones that ran thousands percent, when they were doing their runs, many of them would hold this 21 period moving average. Almost all of them end up holding the 50-day moving average or the 10-week line, but the strongest ones held the 21 period. So over here, Frog pulls back to the 21 period moving average, bounces. So when what you can do for pullback buying for stocks that you're interested in is to set alerts at these key levels. Just if you're using TradingView like I am, you just click the level, add the alert. And right now it looks like they're doing maintenance, but 99% of the time that works. We could set other kinds of alerts as well. That's one way to think about buying pullbacks. But should you be buying pullbacks in anything, right? Should you be buying pullbacks based off of the chart alone? That was something that I would run into a problem with as well. How do I know which pullbacks I should be buying? Because there's lots of stocks out there, right? Should I be buying anything just based off of the chart, like what we were looking at before? Or should it just be something a little bit more? Well, I was listening to a recent interview from Charles Harris. Jake, one of our members, posted this interview from Charles. It was a great interview. Charles was actually one of my mentors many years ago. Charles Harris is a portfolio manager at Investors Business Daily. He's taught loads and loads of workshops from the intermediate level up to the master's level, and I've attended those. One of the things that he mentions is that he really needs to have conviction in a stock in order to buy the pullbacks, because there could be a little bit more risk involved depending on how you're buying these pullbacks, right? So to share the screen again, let's say that you're buying this pullback as it's touching the moving average in the middle of the day. Well, you don't know if it's going to continue falling, right? So what do you do? Well, if you have high conviction in the story or something fundamentally, then maybe, well, that was something that worked for Charles, and he's made several thousand of percent using his strategies. Something that works for me is identifying multiple levels of support areas when I'm trying to buy dips. So I'll not just look at this on a daily time frame. I'll also look at it on a weekly time frame. And something that I've noticed, and this is something that I've spoken with to our members, and it's helped us quite a bit. Midweek, right? Like, so, what is it? Well, today's Friday, right? So we're at the end of the week. So now's not really the best time for this. But say on Wednesday, right? It's a Wednesday. You start to see price falling and closing near the low of its range. But you go onto that chart and perhaps it's close to the prior week's low. Right? Let's take a look at ANF. This is one that I'm still in right now. So let's see over here. Right? Does it give a good example? Not for the Wednesday buy. Right, so it's this one I actually bought, turn my annotations on for a minute, just as it was coming out of this, and it's about 10% now. But here's another way to buy dips. So you see how this one pulled back over here. And by the way, we've got a monthly chart over here, a weekly chart, a daily chart, and an intraday chart. I like to have these four up when I'm analyzing trades. So that way it makes the multi-time frame analysis a little bit easier to do. Now you see this over here, when price came down and it fell and it looks like, well, there's all this air time that price has fallen to. Well, that turned out to be a dip buying opportunity, right? Well, look what happened thereafter. But you might say, well, that's the benefit of hindsight. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. If you notice how I placed my cursor at the low of that day, take a look at it over on the weekly chart, that one in the upper right. What do you see? The low of that bar is touching that red line. That's the 10-week line. So you could have bought right around there and say, okay, if price falls another, you could set mathematical stop loss, right? If price falls another 5%, let's say, that you would cut that as a loss. You could take a look at the weekly chart and then come over here, few weeks back and say, okay, right now, the weekly low is at 114.49. If price undercuts this weekly low of 113.75, then that'll be where I'll exit. So, and that line also happens to line up fairly well with this, right? So you can see all the levels on the charts on the different time frames that have been tested and where maybe buyers step up. You want to build multiple confluences around your hypothesis of how you're going to buy the dip. But I sort of went off the path a little bit. We were starting to talk about conviction levels and why. Well, one of the conviction levels for me, obviously, is having these multiple time frame confluences. For you, maybe you look at the story of the stock. Maybe you look at the fundamentals of the stock. Maybe you look at both. I like to look at both as well. I also like to focus on the leaders if I'm going to buy dips, right? How do I know what's a leader? Well, it's doing this. Simple as that, right? It's based on the price action. Let the market tell you what the leader is. Don't try to just think about, oh, well, I believe in Tesla and that's a leader. Well, take a look at what the market's telling you. Right? The market is always right. Ah, Jake is in the house. Yes, pullbacks are great. Awesome. All right. So let's see. I'm coming back over to my notes over here. Let's see. We spoke about why mastering pullbacks. So why? Right. Let me make sure that we touched on this. Why is mastering pullbacks so good? Well, let's see if you got in down here, right? Let's say that you were that you set your alert at the 10-week line. Let's say that you got in on the close of that day. Let's say that you set your stop at the low of the day. You could have gotten in here with a 2% stop loss. And from there, price is up about 18% right now. It's pretty good, right? If you could set your stop at just 2%, then you could lever into that opportunity, right? So let's just come over to my website here, marawolf.com. Let's pull up the free position size calculator. Let's do a little math here. All right, so let's say that we've got $1 million account. We want to risk 1% of our capital. And let's come over to ANF and say that we wanted to get in at 116.30, right? Pretty close to the close there. Let's say that we wanted to set our stop at 114, risking 1% of capital. That's 10 grand. If let's say that you wanted, let's say that you have 100,000. Right, and you wanted to risk 1 grand, how much could you go in and risk 1 grand? Well, you could put half your account in at that level and still be risking 1%. Now, this is telling us here, hey, that's a bit aggressive because, well, what happens if price gaps down, right? Well, we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where if price were to really gap down and go that much more against us where we'd lose our shirt. That's what this trade emotionator thing is telling us. So maybe we could go in with 0.5% of capital being at risk. We could still put on 25% of our capital and we're only risking 0.5% of it, right? So this is where position sizing and risk management and trade analysis, all this stuff starts to come together. Stage two uptrends, buying leaders, multi-time frame analysis, position sizing. How can you make all this stuff work together, right? It's really putting multiple skills together, right? Your analysis, your trade management, mindset, all these things. That's why I wrote this book, the trading mind wheel. I talk about all these different skill sets in one book. The reason why is because I struggled for more than a decade trying to put all this stuff together. And what would happen to me is that I would learn one skill, right? Like analysis, just like everybody learns analysis first. And then you get to a certain level and then you hit a wall. Why? Because you don't have these other skills involved, right? Well, I'm doing well, but well, what's wrong? I don't know. I haven't been writing anything down. Well, you need the skill of journaling. You need to learn how to journal well. Now, what are you keeping your notes in? Are you keeping them in a notebook? Are you keeping them on a spreadsheet? Do you have software? What do you have? Do you know how to use these things well? Do you know what statistics are important? All those things play a role. How about position sizing? How about managing the trade overall? How about managing your portfolio overall? Are you taking on too much risk in the entire portfolio? All these things are important. That's why I wrote this book, The Trading Mind Wheel, and it's almost the 1 year anniversary of this book too. We'll see if we do a special event around the book. Let me know what you guys think about doing some sort of a special event. If you've got ideas, send them over to me. Let's see. Well, what's next? Do you guys have any questions on anything that I've said so far? Go ahead, type in the chat. Let me know if you have any questions on anything so far. All right. Well, let's talk about, let's see. Well, we've covered a whole bunch of things. Leadership, using price and volume, right? Let's go back and take a look at, actually, well, why don't we take a look at Bitcoin? I think Bitcoin is an interesting case study right now. So here's Bitcoin. Bitcoin has been in an uptrend, started to make the stage two right back here. That's actually where I started my position in Bitcoin, way down here at about 28,000. Right now it's at about 63,000, more than double. So there's multiple places on this chart where you could buy the dip. Right? And not every dip works. Let's say that you were like me and you bought way back here. You see price running up. Well, and it's testing that 21 period, right? Let's zoom in a little bit. Tell the story of this thing. It comes down over here. Is that a dip? Well, price came down, but is it a dip? You're going to define that. You're going to define what types of dips you want to buy. If you define it as every time that it touches a certain moving average, that's the dip that I want to buy, great, go for it. I encourage you to do that. But you need to be tracking what it is that you're doing. So that way you know, okay, this time it works, this time it doesn't work. These are the different scenarios in which it works. And then that's how you're going to continuously improve. That's the name of the game, continuous improvement. I didn't buy that one. Well, I started over here, and then I didn't even buy this dip over here, right? I end up buying as it's breaking out over here. So in this case, I was buying the bounce after the dip. The first place that I heard that was from my friend Adam Sarhan. If you're not following Adam Sarhan, he's a great follow as well. He's over on X, and he's also written a book on trading psychology that you could go check out too. We actually both have the same publisher, Wiley, so that's kind of neat. But this was a dip that could have been bought, right? So price fell, it tested the 50-day moving average, it broke the 50-day moving average, right? Not all dips work, but it comes down to another key level over here. That orange line, that's the 100-day exponential moving average. And look to the left of the chart. What else is being tested? Prior resistance, right? Price was over here and it was finding resistance, and then it broke out. And it broke out on heavy duty volume. Well, price pulled back in, and it pulled back into a moving average, and that moving average is also all those points lining up. It's like when you're in a building and you walk up the stairs. What was once your ceiling is now your floor. That's what happened over here. You walked up the stairs, and what was once your ceiling back over here is now your floor. Price bounces from that level. Now, the consolidator, you come in, you pull back, and where's price? Price is well above the 10-week line at this point. Maybe it's getting some support around here at the 21 period moving average. Are there other support zones in here? Well, price was getting some kind of support right around here. Maybe it gets it, maybe it doesn't. Maybe we test the 50-day moving average, but right now price is still moving sideways on this one. How about Ethereum? Ethereum, first test of the 50-day moving average. Yet 2 days ago. First test of the 10-week line. Since when? Since way back here, since it started this move in February, the latest move. It's a great spot to pick up shares or pick up coins when it's the first spot, especially if you have an alert set and you're able to get in right there. Right, and guess what? This level here stopped at what? Stopped at prior resistance. Even though that was prior resistance for just a short bit, it worked. That's why it pays to look at the charts, look at different levels, and come to an assessment. Come to an honest assessment. Don't just be like, oh yeah, well, it's here, it's there, and I drew all these trend lines, and I put on some fib levels. Well, that like. Be honest about your assessment. And then make sure that you're not risking too much, right? Because you have to accept the possibility of being wrong. If you don't, then you could learn the hard way like so many of us do. And I don't want to see that happen to you. Let's see. Well, what other thoughts or comments do you guys have? Just going to take another sip of coffee. Let's see, well, what else do we have? Mentioned some golden opportunities, like the ones in Bitcoin, Ethereum, real life examples, pitfalls, some mistakes that you want to avoid. There's a lot of mistakes that you can make with buying pullbacks. So one is not having a clear definition of what it is that you're looking for. If you don't know the right type of pullback to buy, then you could be buying into something like a Lululemon. Well, let's take a look at Lululemon. Let's say that you bought this. Let's say that you bought the dip off the 100-day moving average. You saw it lining up over here. You got in, like yoga apparel. I love that. And then it starts to move ahead of earnings. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I will hold this. All right. Take off some of my notes over here. I never bought this one. Not recently, anyway. Had it on the radar. I was looking at it over here, and it's just like, yeah, earnings is tomorrow. I'm not going to buy that. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like to buy stocks right ahead of earnings, because you could get into a scenario like this. Never mind. Half a dozen other problems on this chart. Did have some stock on back there for that run. But let's just say that you bought that dip, and you were up. Now, let's say that you're up 7% on this by the time you get there, right? Let's say that you bought it perfectly right over here. There's a few problems with this. When it comes to buying dips, you want to have a few things in mind. Now, or at least these are some of the things that I like to see when I'm buying dips. Number one, you want the stock to be a leader. How do I know that the stock is a leader? Well, one of the ways that I know is this line down here. That's the relative strength line versus the S&P 500. If the stock is a leader, it will be beating the S&P 500. Like back here, right? Well, when this line is trending up, then that means that it's beating the S&P 500. When it's moving down, then it means that it's not. It means that it's lagging. So at this point, all throughout here, this is lagging. That's not the kind of dip that I'm looking to buy. Another thing that you want to look at is the overall price and volume. Is this thing under accumulation or is it being sold off? How can you tell? You can tell by the price and the volume. Let's find another example. Let's go through. Let's see. How about AMD? AMD is a decent example over here. AMD, first test of the 50-day moving average since breaking out over here. This one was on my radar. I didn't buy this one. Why not? I could have gotten in with pretty low risk. It's getting, seems like maybe it's getting some support over here. Well, why not buy this one? Anybody know? Anybody want to venture a guess? Go ahead, type into the chat. Maybe you'll win something. We'll see what happens. There's a couple of reasons why this one wasn't right. First thing has to do with the price and the volume. Yes, price sold off over here, right? You have this nasty outside reversal bar, price closes at its lows, some hefty volume. As price is coming in, the volume remains relatively high. Something else, right? It pulls back into this level, it comes up, it gets rejected at the 21 period exponential moving average. All these other moving averages are well above where the current price is. When it's well above the current price, like it is over here, it often acts as a point of contention. It often acts as a point where some people will start to sell. So it's not the best dip to be buying. Something else on this chart that's problematic. This up here, these are the stochastics. I use the stochastics as a momentum indicator. When they're pointed up ahead of a breakout, it tends to work out better, right? So I actually had a position in AMD that I started back here. Actually sold it off on that day, the last bits of it that I had. Do I still have my annotations on this? No, I just have it from over here, but I had it like back here. I sold some over here, and I sold the last bit of it over there. Why? The reason why is because this pullback, right? And so you might look at this as a pullback. I'm looking at it's like pullback activity versus like a setup. Anyway, the way you see how this price action is controlled and it's coming into that purple line and how volume is trailing off. And prior to this, you had that heavy duty volume coming in. Those are signs of this being under accumulation. Over here, look at the big volume bars that go in the other way, right? So that's just based on the chart. We haven't even spoken about, well, what's the group doing? What are other stocks in the industry group doing? That's important as well. You want to take a look at and consider all of these things. Let's see, well, what other notes do we have here? Let's start to go into the Q&A here. right? So let me know what questions you have. Well, what thoughts do you guys have on this discussion so far? Take a look at Rumble. Take a look at YouTube. What sort of questions do you guys have? We've got a lot of people watching. According to this, we've got 80 people that are live. 81 people that are live. So let me know what questions you guys have. Surely, out of 81 people, there's some questions, some thoughts, some comments there that you want to ask. One thing that I want to point out too, we do post a lot of free information, a lot of free education. It's over on marawolf.com. So if you want to sign up for our newsletter, if you want to sign up for a free questionnaire, this thing called the Trading Mind Decoder, it asks you a series of questions to help you start to understand what your beliefs are, start to outline your goals, and start to see, well, where are the gaps? That is over on marawolf.com as well. I showed you the position size calculator. There's other tools over on marawolf.com. Go check it out. Let's see what questions you guys have. So far, you guys are pretty quiet. Gives me a chance to drink some more coffee while I'm waiting. We are at about the half an hour mark here, so if we don't get some questions coming in soon, we could call it a wrap. But let's see, give you guys another moment. Maybe there's a little bit of a lag here. One of the things to at least start to recap some of the key lessons from what we spoke about. Well, when you're buying pullbacks, you need to have conviction in the idea. There's a variety of ways that you could have conviction in your idea. How do you build conviction? You need to have clarity. How do you have clarity? You have clarity by identifying what your beliefs are. Anything that you go in a trade will run into problems if you are not clear on your beliefs, your goals, and what your ability to execute is. If you don't have clarity on those three things, you've got problems. If you don't believe in your pullback or your strategy or those sorts of things, then you won't be able to execute it well. If it's not aligned with your goals, you won't be able to make it profitable for yourself, right? It should be pointing you in the direction of a highly rising equity curve. And finally, if you can't execute it, right? So let's say that you've set an alert at the 50-day moving average, but the alert goes off, it's on your phone, and you're in a meeting. Well, maybe that's not the best strategy for you, but that doesn't mean that you can't have some other mechanism where you take advantage of this stuff. It's a matter of how you're going to figure it out and customize it for yourself. That's some of the mindset and some of the things that you need to have conviction in. We spoke about stage two uptrends. What's the stage two uptrend again? You want to have price above the 50-day moving average, above the 200-day moving average, and you want both of those moving average, the 50 and the 200, to be curved up. That's your stage two uptrend. And when it comes to buying dips, it can give you some really great high reward to low risk opportunities. There's plenty of tools over on marawolf.com, including this position size calculator, right? Well, where we took a look at the trade opportunity earlier and found out that, hey, if you bought the dip, you would be able to risk just 0.5% of capital, have 25% of your account, more than 25% of your account in this thing, and risking that much. That's the power of what pullbacks can do for you if you do them well and do them correctly. If you want some of my research, as well as a little bit more targeted education, check out our research program. We just added educational videos to there, along with daily research, along with my daily trade management plans and lists and all the updates, daily market updates. So go check out MaraWealth.com and you can find out more about the Mara Elite Research Program. Looks like that is it for today. So I want to say thank you all so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure. And I will see you all next time. Take care. Much love. Peace out, everybody.
Hey, thanks so much for sticking around to the end. If you're new here, hit the subscribe button down below and become a part of the Mara Wealth community. And make sure that you check out some of the other videos on the channel. They're exactly what you need to see. And leave a comment down below. I read all of them. Leave a comment.